Friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. The subject matter that we have in store tonight is titled Comprehending Our Enemies. Comprehending Our Enemies. This is a very interesting and it is also a very challenging subject. In the book, The Treatise of Revolutionary Psychology, Samael says, two enemies who fought to the death in the past existence will seek each other again in the new existence to repeat their tragedy at the corresponding age. This is only one example of the few that Samael shares. He also says, if a man at an age of 35 years old is unfaithful to his wife with a woman who happens to be 23, well, in this next life, when he is 35 and the woman is 23, they will also come together to meet those commitments of those egos. How is it that that happens? Well, to start, we are looking here in this example at a very aggressive example. We're speaking here about two enemies who fought to the death. How is it that they come together once again in this life? Well, yes, we can say the law of recurrence will bring them together. And that is true. But what is happening behind that law of recurrence that is enabling these egos to find themselves at the right time and at the right place? To make sure that the right causes and conditions are present for these egos to come together? Well, there is a telepathic communication that takes place between these egos. Because these egos may exist at the time being below the level of detection of the intellect, meaning the subconsciousness, as they communicate, we don't perceive it, but that telepathic communication leads them to be making decisions throughout their life until they converge at the right time, at the right place, under the right causes, and with the right conditions. And when they do, the drama that took place before takes place once again. But notice that we have spoken about two examples of enemies that are quite aggressive, colorful, vivid. This one of two who fight themselves to the death. And the other one in which a situation of adultery takes place, which we know can be destructive for any given family nucleus. But in the emerald tables of the god Ibis of Thoth, the great Hermes Trismegistus writes, "For know ye, that which is formed is truly formless, having form only to thine eyes." Now you may say, wait a minute, what does this even have to do with enemies? And it is important, and we're bringing this forth because there is a lot of hidden wisdom here from the great Hermes Trismegistus. There are also enemies that we create. That does not mean that we create enmities. There are people who come into our lives and we label them as enemies. Either we openly state it or in a very quiet, obscure and secretive way, we see them and we treat them as enemies. And this is why we are quoting here the words of the great Hermes. Because that which is formed is truly formless and has form only in our eyes. There are some people around us that we look at them and we behave against them as if they were our enemies, but in reality they are enemies of our own making. So let's make a combination of these two teachings here. Because based on these two teachings, we can see that there are two types of enemies. On one hand, we have mortal enemies. And on the other one, we have menial enemies. If we speak about mortal enemies, of course, the thought is going to arrive really quick. You know, this has to do with death and the destruction of a body and the cessation of a physical, biological function. But mortal enemies can be mortal in different ways. They are enemies. That they can be mortal enemies because they will strive to bring death to our ideas, our plans. They will seek for a way to deprive of success and bring failure And this can happen at the level of the mind. But there are also enemies that attack directly at the emotional center, and they are seeking the cessation of our emotions. They're seeking to bring an end to our devotions, our longings, our yearnings. And in that way, they can help precipitate their victim into a negative abyss of emotions. And life has given us already many experiences. We know that when you are in a very dark place, it is very difficult to get out of that. And then, of course, there are others that they are just seeking the total elimination. They are seeking for the end of the body. The end of any sensation, biological, electrical, chemical function that exists in your body, they want to see it stopped. And these mortal enemies, they can do either one of these three, or they could do all three. They could start attacking your ideas, your plans, deprive you of any success, and consistently, because thoughts precede emotions, well, that constant stream of failures can take you into a space of defeatism, and at that moment, you can fall into a dark abyss of negative emotions that will have negative repercussions in the body. So mortal enemies, we cannot just think that they are seeking the death of our body. Mortal enemies are certainly very, very dangerous. Now, on the positive, people of this degree of perverseness, well, there's much perverseness in the world, but there are some suggestions that it could be maybe 1-2% of the population. And if that is the case, well, it is unlikely that you may have a mortal enemy at this moment affecting you. It could be, but maybe not. So what other enemies are there? Well, we already said the menial enemies. And this word menial, what does it mean? Menial means domestic, of the house, of our household. So menial enemies could be our spouse, our children, our parents, our neighbors. It could be our co-workers. It could be friends that we bring into our household. And it is important that we see these menial enemies and that we take them seriously as well. Because Samael, in one of his writings, he brings about an example on how is it that some children kill their parents. Not kill their parents as in murder them. But how is it that they end up killing their parents with ungratefulness? How is it that we see in some marriages the manipulation of one spouse from the other, that eventually they die of a heart attack, high blood pressure, diabetes, of illnesses that compound because of other negative emotions? These menial enemies, they are perceived as those who operate against us. And they could be moved by envies. They could be moved by jealousies. The reason they are moved to do what they do could be anything in the spectrum of the ego. But the thing as well is that sometimes we look at some of these people close to us, and we focus on the suffering that they are bringing into our lives. And we may even beg them, stop. I am suffering, but they don't seem to end. And these dynamics, we have to deeply reflect on them. Because time and time again, we continue to see that as we continue to put judgment in others, because we don't know ourselves, because the ego creates a corruption of the information that is getting to the receptive centers of the mind. Well, we judge the actions that we are seeing incorrectly. What we think that is happening is not actually what is happening. And the deeper we dig, the more consistently we find that what we are judging in others is in reality an aspect of ourselves. So when resentments are involved, these enemies may be of our creation. This condition of enmity may exist in our mind. we have to be very watchful on this. What does resentment mean? For those of you who feel that you know what this is but cannot explain it quickly, just let's contribute into that. There is a resentment every time that you consider that something unfair has been done against you. And if you don't think that you deserve it and that has been forced on you, of course you consider it unfair. And you look at the source of that unfairness as the one to which you can direct your resentment. And of course, a few seeds of resentment, just like any weed in your front yard, you can go out and tear it from its roots and be done with it. But when these resentments are many, happening at a high frequency, before you realize, you are dealing with a very serious problem. And these enmities, they may not even be real. But in our projections of resentment, we may label these people as enemies, not realizing that the problem exists within our own selves. In his writings on the revolution of the dialectic, Samael says, if we, first of all, identify ourselves with ourselves and then with the vanities of the outside world, then we cannot forgive. Let us remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Samael continues by saying, but I say something else. It is not enough simply to forgive, but debts must be canceled. Someone could forgive an enemy, but would never cancel the debts. We must be honest. We need to cancel. After a few episodes where you start developing resentment, it is very difficult to forgive. We become so blinded by our own considerations that we clearly see the source of our suffering on the other person. We see ourselves as a target, and them as the marksman throwing all the bullets in our direction. And we tend to forget how is it that we contribute into those events. When we incorrectly label them as enemies, we may even try to work with other forces to eliminate that problem, failing to realize that the problem is us. So when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to reestablishing those relationships, Samael says, forgiving is the same as elimination. Forgiveness requires elimination. And this is what he is saying here. We need to cancel. We need to look within our own selves, find those elements, and comprehend them. And we have spoken about how is it that we can comprehend them many times. We have to see from where are they coming from. We have to see what ego are they coming after. What is the ego that becomes a spring of action for that particular ego of whatever it is, just to assume ownership of the human machine. And once it's there, how it's affecting our thoughts, our sentiments, our actions. How is it affecting our body? How is it draining us from our creative power? And with that understanding, we can always invoke of the Divine Mother to see that defect reduced to a cosmic dust. It is not enough simply to forgive. This idea that I forgive and I don't forget, that is completely useless. That does not contribute at all. It does not give us an opportunity to move forward. For us to forgive, the debts must be canceled. We have to see that defect in us. And the moment that we destroy that psychological aggregate, then the actor is not present, and those dramas cannot manifest. As you work to eliminate those defects from you, that relationship is naturally going to improve. And this is one way in which we are comprehending our enemies. Because we're dealing with the thing that exists within each and every one of us. But what happens when we are dealing with menial enemies? that are simply seeking to bring about misfortune and suffering. In his book, Logos, Mantra, and Theurgy, Samael says, the black magicians create enmities to people. Let's stop it right there. When the master says, black magicians create enmities to people, we can imagine that those enmities will happen within the family nucleus. They will happen within the nucleus of marriage. They will happen within that bond between parents and children. They will happen within the community where you live or the community at work. They will even happen at the level of the state in which you live, the nation in which you live. The karma of the world that we're experiencing is very easily seen as enmities that have been cultivated amongst the people. So this is something that happens everywhere, and we are not exempt from it. Samael continues, enemies attack induced by the Black Lodge, and if the disciple does not know how to moderate and repress or overcome himself, he fails and he moves away from the path. This statement, moderate, repress, overcome himself, this has to do with the key of SOL. Empowering the consciousness to be there, perceive the subject, the object, and the location. Where am I? What is this? Am I in the physical body? It has to do with the remembrance of the being, knowing. This is another test. It could be a test of water, a test of air, a test of fire. It could be a test of earth, just so that you can demonstrate that you have the right emotional stability. If we are not able to do that, we fail and we move away from the path. Friends, and if experience has taught us something, if we are not able to master this, the problems are going to keep coming back and back again. And every time, the situations are going to get more sour. Samael continues by saying, the enemy is controlled and enmities are dissolved with the following key. Here is an antidote. Let the disciple lie down on his bed. Relax all the muscles of the body. Numb yourself, trying to focus on the heart of the enemy. Imagine that heart as a tabernacle that keeps infinite love, and mentally deposit in that heart the portrait of the disciple himself. A portrait that is full of love. Focus first on the heart of the enemy. Why the heart? We know that we have three indivisible atoms, one of the Father, one of the Son, and one of the Holy Spirit. We have learned that the atom of the Holy Spirit corresponds to the pineal gland, is located in the pineal gland, and it corresponds with our sexual created organs. We know that the atom of the Father corresponds to the hypothalamus, and it's located in the hypothalamus and corresponds to the brain. And we know that the atom of the Son is in the pituitary gland, and it corresponds to the heart. When the Holy Spirit tries to communicate, because it is a sexual, creative type of communication, we misread that because the ego is present, and then we take those impulses, and if we don't know what to do with them, we end up wasting sexual creative energy because of a misreading of the signal. When it comes to the atom of the Father, the atom of the Father tries to communicate. And when it does that, well, because the brain is an instrument of the mind and it is pretty much used by the ego, the moment that comes in, the constant comparisons and the failed logic of the ego corrupt the message of the Father. So the Father has no other option than to work through the Son. This is why in the cosmic drama we see that the Son is sent to redeem us. And this is what we see, that gnosis is a doctrine of the heart. So we have to focus first on the heart. But Samael says, you have to see that heart as a tabernacle of infinite love. does not matter if your enemy, this, we have to look at that tabernacle as if it is, as if it were filled with love. And mentally, we must deposit a picture of yourself in that heart. And it has to be a picture that is full of love. At some point, a student asks, I don't even know how that looks like. What kind of picture is that? Well, this is where we have to combine our objective imagination with our willpower, both of them in vibrant harmony. You can see that every time that you contemplate a mental image frame, anything that has happened in your past, you see colors, you perceive smells, you perceive sensations. It is loaded with data. Well, we have to do the same thing with this picture. And this is a picture that has to be infused with affection. It is a picture that has to be infused with compassion. It is a picture that has to be infused with love. You can even use your willpower and your objective imagination to see this picture oozing the aroma of roses. And with that, you can then deposit that picture in the heart of your enemy. And then imagine looking into the frown of that enemy. First in the heart, then the frown. And right there, in between the two eyebrows, you deposit within the mind of your enemy the portrait, but full of intense love. So that picture that you placed in the heart, that you made sure that you left that on the altar of that temple, you bring a picture just like that one, and you deposit that in the mind of your enemy. Samael says, in this practice, it is necessary for the disciple to feel true love for that enemy who hates the disciple. Understand that it is not about faking love. It is essential to get to feel it for the subject who hates, for the enemy. If despite everything that enemy insists on causing damage, then we must work with the magay, with an agave. Those of you who are students of the first chamber and beyond, well, likely we have already gone through the seminar on working with the elementals of nature. And we have already explained to you how is it that we can work with the elemental of the agave to mitigate, to stop the damage that is being caused by any enemy, and to help influence so that their thoughts become thoughts that are constructive, that they contribute into the lives of others, that they can get rid of the hatred. So this is what we do. Focus on the heart and deposit that image that is imbibed full of love, and then focus in between the eyebrows and deposit that image that is perfumed with the aroma of flowers, and deposit it there so that they can see it, so that that image can positively influence those thoughts. This is the key. But in the same book of Logos, Mantra, and Theurgy, Samael also says, it is also of greater worth, on the other hand, to love our worst enemies. Kiss the feet of those who hate us. Kiss the hand that hits us. Caress the whip that wounds our flesh. It is higher to love those who hate us, yes, because they do not understand us, and to love those who love us more. We have to return good for evil. We know that the effect is always greater than the cause. You know this. You know this. When we're playing with fireworks, all it takes is a little spark, a little flame, to detonate a tremendous explosion, to detonate a beautiful show of lights. All of these things happen with just a little flame. The cause is, the effect is always greater than the cause. And if someone is doing evil and our cause is to return good, that has a very profound effect in the psyche of others. We need to build this as a habit. We need to learn to refrain our most inferior impulses. Steal the fire away from that source of temptation. Remain present at the moment and work through the circumstance. Friends, we know very well that it is very easy to identify what is happening to us. Of course, it is very easy for me to stand here on this side of the microphone and tell you this. It is very easy. We know that applying this is difficult, but it is not impossible. And we need to make a radical change. It is of greater worth to love our worst enemies. So from this point forward, we need you to keep this in mind. Samael says, the student's words must be full of infinite love, of infinite sweetness, infinite harmony, and infinite peace. He's saying infinite. He's not saying a lot. He is not saying plenty. He's not saying abundant. He is saying with infinite love, infinite sweetness, infinite harmony, infinite peace. That requires a lot of self-observation. It requires a lot in this exercise of being present at the moment, alert novelty, alert perception. This requires a lot of remembrance of self. But we have to make use of our creative word with love, with sweetness, with harmony, with peace. We have to break all these old habits, thinking that we have to scream every time that we need to get something done. That we have to yell to be able to reach someone so that they respond because they are so dumb. We really have to break these habits. Love, sweetness, harmony, and peace. Because, says Samael, our rhythmic words, although not vulgar, are also offensive and destructive. Every word loaded with anger, every ironic word is a murderous dagger that wounds the conscience of others in the world of the mind. So when we're being sarcastic, when we're being facetious, when we're being cynical, we are creating wounds in the consciousness of others at the level of the mind. And if we don't want enemies, but we continue while doing all these other things, then what are we really doing? As you can see, for us to be able to comprehend our enemies, we must comprehend ourselves. For us to comprehend our menial enemies, we must comprehend ourselves. And when it comes to the mortal enemies, well, there may be some element of karma there. And that means that we must comprehend ourselves as well. Let us give you this. You work with all these things, and you try the picture in the heart, you try the picture in the eye, within, between the eyebrows, into the mind of the person. If you are making a sincere effort to change the tone of your words and you're speaking with love and kindness and sincerity and empathy and infinite love and peace, etc., and that enemy continues to look for a way to continue bringing harm, you can defend yourself against the enemy in urgent and serious cases with the mantra Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopihana Vayavaya Swaha. 5 words. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopihana Vayavaya Swaha. This mantra materializes a flaming star around you. It surrounds you and it creates for you a shield of protection. Negative emotions, ill thoughts, and in some instances, this mantra is powerful enough to influence the ethers of the vital body of your enemy so that they do not perceive you. So that when they look at you, they just don't notice that you're there. Klim Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopihana, Vayavaya, swaha. So we have a practice for tonight. In our practice for tonight, we're going to lay down on our back and we're going to adopt the corpse posture. We know that this is a very symbolic, significant posture because we are seeking for death, the death of the ego. Or we can lay on our back and assume the posture of a flaming star. Legs spread about shoulder width apart, arms to either side. Because in this posture, well, the enemies, when they see that, they stand back. They always respond in such a way when they see the shape of that flaming star. Make sure that when you lay down that you align your head towards the north. And that is important. That way we can be aligned with the flow of magnetic energies in the planet. And we're going to relax the body. As we relax the body, we're going to invoke the innermost. We're going to ask our innermost to help us see all of those places where we have an opportunity to cancel all debts. Some enemy is going to appear, is going to show up spontaneously in the screen of your mind. Don't reject that. Embrace that principle of spontaneity. And as you see that, well, we're going to invoke our innermost so that we can see everywhere where we have an opportunity to cancel our debts. All the debts that are associated with that enemy that showed up. And we're going to offer and deposit a portrait full of love, first in their heart, then in between the eyebrows. And as we do this, we are once again going to invoke the innermost and we're going to ask our Father, who is in secret, to contribute into this work, to help us, guide us, lead us, by helping us gain enough awareness so that we can exercise the constant practice of using words of sweetness, of love, and harmony. So that every time that we're getting ready to say that something that falls out of these boundaries, that we immediately become aware and that we can rectify. And let's see how our life starts changing. So let's go ahead and let's start by, say, closing our eyes. Let's go ahead and find a comfortable location here in our room and let's rest. Laying on our back. The posture of the corpse or a flaming star, they both work. And if it were impossible for you to lay on your back, that is okay too. If you remain sitting with your feet flat on the floor, your hands resting comfortably on your thighs, as you close your eyes, this will also work. Let's take a deep breath in. One, two. One, two. Now let's make ourselves aware of the sensations in our physical body. If there's anything that is too tight, anything that is bringing physical discomfort, this is a good time to get rid of it. And as we do this, let's take another deep breath in. One. Make yourself comfortable once again. Two. And let's bring about a circle of protection around us for this practice. This is a circle where no negative influence can penetrate. And any negative influence that finds itself inside of it will naturally flee away from this particular circle. Imagine that this is a circle of a beautiful flame around you. A flame like that flame in the burning bush. A flame like that column of fire that led the Israelites in the desert. And to materialize this circle, we sing the mantra, Elyon Melion tetragrammaton. Helion. Melion. Tetragrammaton. Use your willpower in your objective imagination, both together in vibrant harmony. And as you see this, we make ourselves ready to relax the body. Let's focus our attention, the attention of our consciousness, under the soles of our feet. And we focus on our toes, our heels, our ankles, our shins, our calves, all the way up to our knees. And we take another deep breath in. 1, 2. We bring once again the attention of our consciousness to our knees, and we focus that on the underside of our thighs. We instantaneously feel that relaxation extending throughout the thighs, upwards towards our glutes, and we relax our hips, our creative organs, the muscles in our lower abdomen. And we bring the attention of the consciousness to the base of our spine. Just like that, and without any effort, we can immediately feel the gentle softness that comes with relaxation, penetrating every particle of our legs and our hips and our creative organs. So let's take another deep breath in. 1, 2. And focusing the attention of our consciousness at the very bottom of our spine, we allow that attention to start shifting upwards one vertebra at a time. With every inhalation and every exhalation, we methodically allow for the relaxation of our internal organs. The relaxation of our lymphatic system so that all fluids can flow without interruption. The relaxation of very relevant organs like the spleen, foundation of our ethereal body. Our liver, foundation of our astral body. Our pancreas, that is so strained because of all of our angers and sourness. We relax our diaphragm, our stomach, our lungs. We even bring relaxation into our heart. And by then, the attention of our consciousness seems to remain consistent in that space between our shoulder blades and our back. So we focus then our attention on our breath. We notice that our breathing has become so much more gentle. that our exhalations are longer and deeper. And as we continue to breathe in and exhale, we can once again see how the attention of our consciousness continues displacing itself upwards one vertebra at a time. Until it reaches the top of our back and it spreads onto our shoulders. And from there it cascades onto our elbows, our wrists, our hands, our fingers. It becomes very easy to perceive the gentle vibration that inundates the physical body with this state of relaxation. And with great satisfaction, with much gratefulness and gratitude, we allow the consciousness to focus its attention at the very base of our skull, in that space behind the head and between the ears. Many people naturally feel this very gentle presence, this force, this energy right there. And we experience this without identifying ourselves with it. But we rather focus on our breath. And as we continue to breathe effortlessly, we can feel that sensation of relaxation growing from the base of our skull upwards. And as it does, we feel it in our ears, in our temples. We relax the muscles of our jaw, our tongue, our lips. We relax our eyes and our eyelids. We relax the muscles of our forehead. And by doing this, that sensation of relaxation continues to grow until it finds itself at the very crown of our head. And at this moment we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we are here humbly at your presence, asking of you, begging of you with our soul and our heart for your contribution. Awaken in us, Father, the faculties of imagination, inspiration, and intuition. Help us open ourselves to the principle of spontaneity. Show us, Divine Father, what is that enmity that becomes urgent that we comprehend. And show us, Father, everywhere where there is an opportunity for us to cancel our debts. Show us everywhere where we have denied ourselves the opportunity to embrace our enemy. Show us, Divine Father, everywhere where we have encouraged others to do the same. Show us everywhere where we have convinced, where we have tried to control others in our favor. We ask of this, Divine Father, in your holy name. So be it. And keeping the relaxation in our body, honoring that relaxation at the level of our eyes and our eyelids, we open ourselves to the principle of spontaneity. And we contemplate. We contemplate and we perceive. Divine Mother, we invoke of you with our soul and our heart. We ask that you bring of your sacred fire and your flaming spear of arrows. And that you help us bring an end to this psychological aggregate that we comprehend. With your divine fire, Mother, cleanse all of those locations in the mind. Where we have deprived ourselves of the opportunity to embrace our enemies. Bring of your sacred fire and purify all those locations where we have coerced, controlled, invited others to behave in the same inferior ways. Guide us, Divine Mother, to the heart temple of our enemy. And allow us to perceive the majesty and the beauty of their temple. In that altar of stone or gold. Allow us to deposit an image of ourselves an image that reflects kindness, sincerity, compassion an image that is infused with love that exudes the aroma of flowers An image that invites a reflection in you as the source of all love in creation. And bless this image, Divine Mother, in this temple of the heart, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By the almighty and powerful Tetragrammaton. Guide us, Divine Mother, to that space in between their eyebrows, to that space where we can peek into the vastness of that mind. And allow us to offer and deposit an image of ourselves. An image that is full of love. An image that radiates sincerity, kindness, compassion. An image that is bright with the colors of the astral light. An image that exudes the fragrance of roses, and that is ever expansive, and bless this image in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the almighty and powerful Tetragrammaton. Divine Mother, we give you infinite thanks for this opportunity. We are infinitely grateful for your kindness and your help. And we ask of you, Divine Father, for your powerful contribution. Oh, powerful being. Awaken in us the ability to remain in a consistent key of SOL. Guide us so that every word that comes out of our creative larynx is a word that is full of love, harmony, sweetness. Give us the right degree of awareness so that at the instant in which our words deviate from love, harmony, and sweetness, that we may immediately, instantaneously perceive that. That we may instantaneously correct that. That we may clearly see the ego that pretends to create influence at the mind, the heart, the actions, so that we may comprehend it and bring about its elimination. Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks. We ask that all of this materializes, that the miracle of your intervention crystallizes according to the will of the great law, the universal charity, and never our own will. Amen. 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 We take then another deep breath in. 1, 2. And we slowly wiggle our toes and our fingers and open our eyes. Well, dear friends, this has been our practice tonight on comprehending our enemies. We sure hope that this is going to be very useful for you. So not much more for us to wish you a good night, have a great weekend, and may all beings be happy. Good night, everyone.